Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We are rolling through the Thursday edition of the program. Talked about the AFC and the NFC championship games. News out there about Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott being on his way out. My position, pretty straightforward. Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers have the most at stake, respectively, in the AFC and the NFC championship game. We know what Mahomes has done. We know what certainly Tom Brady has done. Not to say that winning a Super Bowl isn't the goal of every single season, but I don't know that necessarily our expectation for Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady changes if those guys are in the Super Bowl playing against each other. It would be cool to me to see Patrick Mahomes, who is his generation's Tom Brady, go up against Tom Brady. Although, who knows? Brady may be playing against Patrick Mahomes for another 5 or 7 years the way he looks right now. He looks ageless. But would you guys in the crew agree with me that this is a AFC and NFC championship game where Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers, respectively, have by far the most at stake? What say you, Danny G?
Yeah, we don't always agree on the NFL, but I think you nailed it with the breakdown of the two players who have the most to lose. A quick thought for me on Josh Allen. He deserves a ton of credit for the hard work he's put in during the offseason. I know you'll probably agree with me that you heard a lot of people immediately say that he was a bust because of his inaccuracy with the football. And maybe that comes natural to a guy like Patrick Mahomes, but Josh Allen had to put in so many hours to get better, and we see the fruits of his labor this season. I think that he deserves a lot of credit for what he's putting on the field right now. And as far as Aaron Rodgers, this dude is almost 40, and I forget that sometimes watching him play because it still seems like he's playing at half speed sometimes, easy with everyone else around him kind of running out of gas, kind of like a really good home run hitter who swings the bat seamlessly. You're right, a second Super Bowl win would solidify his place in NFL history. It was 2010 when he won his ring. I remember I was still working at an FM radio station, DJing this big Super Bowl party, and all the girls at that party were asking for Rihanna, Rude Boy. It's been a long time. 2010, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but it was. And so for him to start his career with a Super Bowl win and maybe towards the end of his career with a Super Bowl win, man, that would be such an accomplishment for him. And he's had a lot of haters that have said he's overrated.
What about you, Dub? Would you agree with me that Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers in the AFC and the NFC championship game have by far the most at stake?
Yeah, I would agree. And if you made me pick just one of those guys, I would pick Aaron Rodgers because
I think you're right there too.
Because, I mean, having two Super Bowls, especially at his age, it just takes you to a whole nother level in terms of the history of the NFL. And Josh Allen, let's be honest, he's so far exceeded expectations this year already. Like, I feel like whatever happened in this game, Josh Allen is, you know, he's announced himself that he's here and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he's so young. I feel like this season for him has already been such a wild success.
I should put up a poll question, which quarter, and see whether or not the audience out there agrees with me, which quarterback has the most at stake and agrees with you. Because I do think it's Josh Allen in the AFC, and I think it's Aaron Rodgers in the NFC. But of the four, I think it's Aaron Rodgers. I really do. I mean, look, first of all, three of the guys have already won Super Bowls, Mahomes, Rodgers, and certainly Brady. So you could argue Josh Allen has the most at stake because winning your first Super Bowl is by far the most important. But to your point, I mean, Josh Allen is so young, and he's shown such growth this year that I feel as if he is going to be in the AFC championship game again. Now, you can always come back and say, well, look at Dan Marino. Guy got into the Super Bowl, I think it was in year two, never got there again, never got an opportunity to win another one. It's hard to get to the AFC championship game. It's hard to get to the NFC championship game for most people not named Tom Brady. and or Patrick Mahomes, who's now in his third in a row. Brady's in his 14th conference championship game. Mahomes is in his third conference championship game in a row, and I think he's going to be there a lot. So maybe you could make an argument, Josh Allen, who knows how often he's going to be there again. He's won two playoff games. That's hard to do. Got some good breaks. They were fortunate to win against the Colts, fortunate arguably to win against the Ravens. In terms of, it's not like they came out and just absolutely dominated and those games were never close. It's just hard to win in the playoffs, period, no matter who you are. So I think you could make that argument on Josh Allen's behalf, but I'm with you. The stakes for Aaron Rodgers, given his age, how many opportunities are you going to have to get to the Super Bowl in a home playoff game where you are favored against a team that is talented in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but that you should beat more times than not, I think, if you play this game 100 times, I think probably that the Packers would win between 60 and 65 of them. I don't think that's a crazy perspective. So they should win this game. Eddie, who has the most at stake?
I would go Josh Allen, number one. I think him getting a win over Patrick Mahomes, regardless of what the situation is, if Mahomes plays, puts him at that next level, whereas everyone else so far, even Mahomes at his young age, is already kind of NFL royalty. And I think Tom Brady is actually close to Aaron Rodgers. I get the argument for Aaron Rodgers, but Tom Brady going to another conference with another team, with another head coach, with another group of teammates, and getting back to the Super Bowl with that team, we already know the storyline of, you know, who was going to get back to the Super Bowl first, Brady or Belichick. Obviously, Brady's right there. And he's already the GOAT. I get that. But it's almost like maybe an analogy is LeBron James going back to Cleveland and winning a title. I mean, he did win a championship in Miami and he's won in L.A. But kind of going back and putting another mark on his resume with a different team, I don't know. It feels the way it is for Brady a little bit.
Yeah. And I do think that Brady winning a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick would be an incredible sort of notation on his career. Going to a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick would as well. But for most of us out there, I think seeing Brady in the NFC Championship game and with the wins over Washington and over the Saints, to me, it's really hard to argue that Belichick was the driving force of the Patriot dynasty. Now, the benefit that Belichick we thought had was we were like, well, Brady's probably only got a couple of years to play and Belichick might coach another 5 or 6 years. So Belichick has time on his side. I'm not even sure that's true anymore because somebody look up Belichick's age. I think Belichick is 70 now and maybe Belichick is going to coach till he's 75 or 80. He might well do it. But to me, I feel like Brady, if I were setting the over-under on Brady right now, how many more years he'll play from now, I would go 2.5, meaning I think you would have to argue pretty strongly that he's definitely playing next year. And I feel like even the year after that is also feeling pretty likely.
He's 68.
68. Yeah. All right. So Belichick is 68 years old. I mean, that's getting up there in age in terms of how old you are. And so is Belichick, I think maybe Saban 70. Is Belichick going to coach until he's 75? Maybe he will. But coming into this season, my thought was, well, Brady's probably only got 2 years left. After how well he played this year with the Bucs, I'm bumping up 2 more years to Brady after this one, and it wouldn't shock me if he played 3 more years. So I'm not sure that Belichick has a year advantage in terms of coaching like I thought he did. And given the fact that the Patriots are presumably moving on from Cam Newton in this offseason, you're going to have to either go, maybe Belichick can put together some extraordinary trade. Maybe he wants Carson Wentz. Maybe he wants Deshaun Watson. Maybe there's somebody out there that he thinks he can win at a high level with if he puts together a trade. Otherwise, he's going to go get a rookie quarterback at best, maybe in the first round. Takes you usually a couple of years to get a guy back and, you know, comfortable as a rookie quarterback by and large. I'm just not sure, to say nothing of going to the Super Bowl, I'm not sure that Bill Belichick is ever in a conference championship game for the rest of his career. In fact, right now, I would bet against it. And Brady's already there in year one. We'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow because I do think it's a massive storyline as we get ready for the NFC championship game. But to me, Brady has risen up and dunked all over Belichick in the argument of who's the most responsible for the dynasty, Belichick or Brady. It's Brady, and frankly, it doesn't even feel that close to me. What about you, Roberto? Who's got the most at stake?
Yeah, I agree with you about Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen. If Aaron Rodgers wins another Super Bowl, he still has a legit chance to pass Brett Favre for more Super Bowls there with Green Bay. And then Josh Allen, like Danny said, he deserves a lot of credit for his improvement. You know, and with Mahomes in his same conference, it would be good to see him get over that hill early, getting past Mahomes, because Mahomes is definitely going to be in his way for many years to come, man.
Yeah. By the way, Belichick will be 69 years old in April, so he's close
to
70.
You know where he was born?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think his dad was in the Navy, if I'm not mistaken. Something like that was serving when Belichick was born here. And in fact, Belichick's fiance, they have a place here in Nashville and spend a lot of the off season here. So he is he's regularly seen about around
town. Is he
your
neighbor?
He's close to, actually. He doesn't live very far away. It was actually funny. One of my buddies was like, he was at the gym working out. This is, I think, last year. And he looked over next to him on the, I think it was the Stairmaster. He was on the Stairmaster. And Bill Belichick was on the Stairmaster next to him at the gym here in Nashville, which is, of all the people, I know you don't really expect to see a famous person probably on the Stairmaster next to you anyway. But I would definitely do like
was he wearing a hoodie on the Stairmaster?
I think it was a sleeveless hoodie. Yeah, he was just right there. You know, you're sitting there watching, probably SportsCenter or whatever it is on your Stairmaster screen. And then you do a double or triple take when you suddenly look next to you and there's Bill Belichick working out. And by the way, it was the Y, the Y MCA here in Nashville. They're popular gyms. And there's boom, Bill Belichick in a public gym, just going to town on the Stairmaster next to you. When we come back, by the way, we are scheduled to be joined by Jeff Schwartz. I'm going to put up that poll question, let you guys weigh in. Who has the most at stake among the quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, or Patrick Mahomes, as we get ready for the AFC and the NFC championship games and get set for setting the Super Bowl 55, I guess it'll be, down in Tampa. All that headed your way.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Jeff Schwartz with us now. Jeff, I just put up a poll question. And I'll ask you the same question that I just asked everybody. You can go vote yourself in this at Clay Travis on Twitter. Which quarterback has the most at stake in the AFC and the NFC championship games on Sunday? Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady in the NFC, Mahomes and Allen in the AFC. How would you answer that?
Probably Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this is what, his third championship game now and since he made the Super Bowl last, and they haven't done very well, right? They got blown out in a bunch of them. So I think it's easily him. He's at home. They're the best team, in my opinion, in the NFL right now. And it's clearly him. I don't think it's even close. I mean, he's the oldest, not the oldest, I guess, Tom Brady. But Tom Brady still has basically his roster coming back next year, right? No one expected him to be in the spot this season. So it's easily Aaron Rodgers.
That is what the poll question answers are showing so far. Several thousand of you have already weighed in. Let's see. And in fact, you're completely coming down in the direction that I would go with. Aaron Rodgers, nearly 60% of the vote, 59%. Josh Allen, second place with 18%. Brady, third place with 16%. Patrick Mahomes bringing up the rear with 7%. I know you're not a doctor, Jeff, but it seems like all signs are pointing towards Patrick Mahomes playing. At this point, would you be shocked if he's not out there Sunday?
I mean, the Chiefs listed him as a full participant yesterday before realizing that they broke the rules.
Yeah.
They made him a limited participant.
That's right.
So I think he's very much playing. Now, yesterday, obviously, I don't know if you saw any pictures from practice. I mean, they were in a walkthrough. I mean, they didn't have helmets on or pads on or nothing, but yeah, he's playing. The one issue I'd say with Mahomes though is maybe not his neck and head, but his toe. Right? If you remember, he injured his toe in that game, and he was limping around. He wasn't the same quarterback. So I wonder how that will affect him come Sunday. But he's playing. I mean, and the line reflects it, and we know he's playing. Come on, like it was not even, I know that they're you know, there a lot of people are saying it wasn't a concussion either. So that kind of makes it easier to come back. You know, you're in the protocol, but it makes it easier to go through the steps if you didn't actually get a concussion.
Are you near death? You sound like you're sick.
No, my voice is just like, it's just like scratchy this morning. I don't know, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I just want to make sure you're not going to die.
I feel wonderful. My voice seems like it seems like death this morning. I agree.
Yeah, we're talking to Jeff Schwartz. All right, so let's break down these games a little bit. You agree, I think, that the Chiefs have not looked very good. If you're a gambler, they're 1-8, I think, in their last 9 against the number. A little bit different, though, in that game against the Browns, because if Patrick Mahomes doesn't get hurt, they looked like they were kind of pulling away. Did you see things from the Chiefs that made you more optimistic? How much are they missing Clyde Edwards-Helaire? What do you attribute to their malaise?
So the Chiefs would actually be the team who has the worst against the spread record to win a Super Bowl in quite a long time. Like they don't, you know, most teams that win a Super Bowl cover most of their games, and they've actually, you know, like you mentioned, depending on what number you get, they're either 1-8 or 0-8-1. In their last 9 games against the spread. Like, they just haven't finished games very well. You can excuse that, obviously, this week against the Browns. But one sequence in the game that still kind of worried me a little bit about the Chiefs and their ability to kind of stomp on someone's throat, right? Like, end the game when they have a chance to do so. So they're up 19-3 in the early second half. And we know, look, they got pretty lucky, right? The ball fumbles out the end zone. They come back down and score 3 points. So easily could have been 16-10, 19-3 instead. They intercept Baker Mayfield. And instead of, you know, they get the ball in the red zone, instead of just going in, scoring a touchdown, and ending the game right there, right? It would have been up 26-3, game virtually over. They go 3 and out and miss a field goal. And like those little moments, I still worry about them when they play Buffalo this weekend. And Buffalo's a relentless team. Like, they're not going to stop. And so if they have these moments where they don't kind of finish a drive in an important situation, they have an opportunity to be upset. So I do still worry about that. But when they play their best game, the Bills are not beating them. I mean, that's the thing about it, is the Chiefs always have that gear.
So I'm curious, you played 8 years in the NFL. Brady looks like he's Benjamin Button right now. I mean, he looks like he's aging in reverse. I coming into this season, I thought, okay, he'll probably play this year and maybe next year. After this season, regardless of how it ends, I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, I think you got to make the over under 2.5 more seasons for Tom Brady going forward. How remarkable is his longevity, and what would you set the over under at for how many more seasons he plays? Because he doesn't seem close right now to the end. In fact, I mean, he's playing unbelievably.
When you dedicate every second of your life to football, which he does. Even every second of the off season, the regular season, every second of his life is dedicated to maintaining his body. This is what can happen, right? A lot of guys don't have the mental capacity to do that. A lot of guys, you know, they spend 90% of their time on their body, right? He spends 100% of his time worried about his sport, even in the off season. So that's what you get when you eat clean, when you work out, when you kind of just set your schedule around football. We all agree, though, he's had a little work done on his face, right?
He has like to that. Have. I don't understand how he looks so young.
Celebrities and people with money do that. So more power to you, Tom. When you dedicate your life to that and you have the money to do so, this can happen, right? We're seeing players play much later into their careers now. And, you know, Drew Brees obviously is retiring. And Drew Brees got hurt this year, and it seems like he was hurt more than the Saints let on, right? His wife said yesterday on Instagram he had a torn rotator cuff and ribs, obviously, and another injury as well. And, you know, Tom Brady's been fortunate. He gets the ball out quickly, doesn't get hit very, very often, and it just takes one hit to get him out of the game, right? But he does a good job avoiding contact, of knowing where he has to go with the ball so he doesn't get hit, and of taking care of his body and dedicating his life to football 24/7. And luckily, look, it takes understanding family to do that, right? I mean, his wife and his kids, you know, making sure that you know, dad stays on schedule, what he has to do in the off season stuff. So it's a big family commitment, and they've obviously all bought in. I think he does play at least through this end of this contract, which is next year, and then, you know, we'll see where he goes after that. I don't know how many people are going to want a 45-year-old quarterback, but we'll see.
I mean, I think the Bucs may want him. I mean, I don't know how you let him walk if he's having
success.
Well,
he's got one more year, right? He's got one more year, right?
Yeah, right. But I'm saying I came in thinking he's only got 2 years left. If I were setting the over-under right now, not counting this year, I still think the over-under would be 2.5 years going forward. Like, and I'd probably take the over because I think he's probably going to want to do this year. In fact, they may go back to the drawing board and add another year to his contract after this year. Who knows exactly? When you look at what he has been able to accomplish, one of the great debates in the world of sports for 20 years has basically been, okay, Patriots dynasty, who's more responsible, Belichick or Brady? Have we ended it in 1 year with what happened with the Patriots and what happened with Tom Brady and the Bucs and what happened with the Patriots overall?
The Patriots went 7-9 this year with that bum roster. Like, they actually, like, that's a pretty good coaching job. You know, if you want to blame Belichick for the roster construction, sure. But, I mean, he coached a heck of a team this year. I mean, again, Cam Newton threw like 4 touchdown passes this season, and he went 7-9. I mean, it wasn't like they were 2-14. He went 7-9 this year with that roster. You know, the big win against Buffalo, was at Buffalo, I believe, or the Ravens on in the rain. They almost beat Buffalo in Buffalo. They took Seattle down to the wire early in the season. Cam Newton, you know, had COVID and came back a different quarterback. I mean, like they. So I think it's really hard to say who was the main catalyst of that success. I mean, they both were. They both were the perfect match for each other, right? Belichick and Brady challenged each other mentally. They pushed each other. They knew, you know, how to win in tough situations. They just were the perfect pair. I don't think you can say, hey, it was Tom Brady or hey, it was. If you get Belichick, the Bucs roster, they're going to win 11 or 12 games too. I mean, so I think that it's. I know people want to dump on Belichick now, but he went 7-9 with that roster. How many coaches in the NFL are going to win 7 games with the roster he had? Again, that's partly his fault for the roster. He's the general manager, sort of, really. But, you know, if you want to blame him for roster construction, sure. But I think he can still coach.
Mahomes, Brady, and Rodgers all have Super Bowls. Josh Allen is the lone guy who is playing this coming weekend that does not. How much of a revelation has Josh Allen's performance been this year? And in your mind, how sustainable is it going forward?
Yeah, I was a guy who never thought Josh Allen would get here, and I think I had history on my side. People have talked about it ad nauseum, and I'll just reiterate again. I mean, he is the best improvement in NFL history. There's no quarterback who's improved more. So if you said, hey, I always thought this would be Josh Allen, you're just lying because you hoped you would. It's just thoughts and prayers at that point. Right? We've never seen this before, and no one's improved this much in one season in NFL history. So or even through his first 3 years, from his year one of a starter to year three. So you can't say you saw this coming because you didn't. You didn't. We've never seen this before. So sustainable, will he be this good? Probably not. But will he be bad again? Probably not either, right? He's probably going to settle somewhere in the middle. His OC coming back next year, Brian Daboll, is huge for them. He was up for some jobs and wasn't able to get any of them. So that's a huge plus for Allen. So I don't think he'll be this good next year, but he won't be bad ever again, I think.
So a couple of stories. Let's move out of the AFC-NFC championship game. Would you trade Deshaun Watson if you were the owner of the Houston Texans, or would you be like, dude, we're going to figure this out. I refuse to move on.
I mean, I would keep him if I was Houston because I think he's an excellent player.
Right.
It might come to a situation where he just makes it so difficult. Yes, for him. But, you know, people see James Harden, right, and obviously he traded from Houston to Brooklyn. And NBA players can force trades much easier. A, James Harden could just not play well, which he didn't. He just kind of like goofed off, right? He didn't play well. He's a little out of shape. Deshaun Watson, if he shows up, he's going to play well. Like that's, you know, he's not going to sabotage the team. We saw this year, he's definitely not going to do that. So he's not able to really force his way out of there like James Harden was able to do. Obviously, the media pressure, Deshaun not showing up for training camp, things like that could force him out, but also a package of 3 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks and 2 players. Like that, there are scenarios where the Jets have the ammo to get Deshaun Watson. Houston would have to think hard especially in their situation right now with no draft picks for the next couple of years, whether or not it's worth, you know, taking Sam Darnold and three first-round picks and rolling with that squad for a couple of years.
Pac-12. I know you cover and have talked a lot about the Pac-12 late. I don't know how late it was, but I was getting ready for bed when I saw the news come out about Larry Scott being let go. What does that mean for the Pac-12? Right move, wrong move, and how optimistic are you about the conference going forward now that they're going to be having a new leader?
How about the Pac-12 dumping that news out?
It is really funny.
It's such a Pac-12
move. They should have. The only thing they could have done better is if they had dropped it like in the morning, literally while the inauguration ceremony was going on.
like at 12 Eastern? Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like literally right as he's like walking up to take his oath and give his speech. I mean, that's the only way they could have done it more. But it is very, very funny that that they dropped it on Inauguration Day right in the middle of all the festivities.
Look, I think Larry Scott did some good things when he was first commissioner. I mean, we were pretty much behind in a lot of aspects, and he got us a good TV deal, and he got us moving in the right direction. But the last couple of years, we've just been a stagnant conference, right? We really haven't secured TV rights moving forward. Our network is barely even functioning right now with a skeleton crew, and a lot of that has to do with COVID. We waste a lot of money. There's ways to spend our money better in our conference. And I just hope we hire someone who understands that our breadwinners are football and basketball. I get we're the conference of champions. Our Olympic sports are great, and those should be celebrated, right? We talk about those on a radio show. Our Olympic sports are fabulous. And again, we should celebrate those. But if we want to make money and play with the big dogs, we got to focus our energy more on football, basketball, plain and simple, and we don't. And so I hope they hire someone. And, you know, they talked about Greg Byrne, the Alabama, who used to be in Arizona, as being, maybe an option.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't even seen the list of potential candidates. I know him a little bit. Obviously, he's been very successful at Alabama and previously was a Pac-12 AD.
Yeah, so they mentioned him as a possibility. It'd be an interesting hire, right? Someone who's been south, who has connections to the Pac-12, who has been a successful conference. Oliver Luck, I talked about Oliver Luck, Andrew Luck's father, obviously, who's been an XFL, but executive all over. So I hope they hire the right person for this job. And our first TV, we need a TV deal. We need something. It's not good. They're running out of room. Like, everyone else has a TV deal except our conference. We've got to figure our TV deal out. And then, again, we got to focus on trimming some fat around how much we spend as a conference and really supporting football, basketball better.
Let's go back to the AFC-NFC championship game. What do you expect to see? Who's going to be in the Super Bowl when we get to Sunday evening and both games have been completed?
I think the Packers cover against the Bucks. That game, I think, might not even be fairly close at certain points. I think the Bills and Chiefs game is really competitive. I think if you're looking for an upset, it would be that game, but I'm not going to pick the Bills in that game. So I think the Chiefs win. It might be a game where they win by three and barely cover. They just haven't covered very well. So I think the Packers game is more of a blowout. The Chiefs have a close win at home, and we get Chiefs and Packers. I think Packers win the Super Bowl. I think they're the best team right now.
Jeff Shorts, hope you get your voice back. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I believe, Danny G, you have been going through the reviews. 194% increase in the number of you who listened on the podcast from last year to this year. And I would encourage you all to go give us 5-star reviews because Danny G reads them, and you have now a new collection of 5-star excellence from the Outkick podcast.
I do. We appreciate our live listeners and also those that listen later on the podcast. You can tweet me at Danny G Radio. I'll confirm it's you, and then we'll get you a 5-star Outkick t-shirt exclusive for the winners here. All right. I like to start out with a 1-star, Clay, just to keep you humble.
Yes.
If that's possible. And we've joked in the past that the 1-stars usually only write a sentence or two. This 1-star wrote a paragraph. Clay Travis is actually the worst sports personality on the planet. From Ryan B. 1017, he says, I've never imagined that one person could have so many horrible opinions on a wide variety of issues, but this Herb has done it. If you didn't think one person could be wrong on every take, then please take a second and let me introduce you to this podcast from Clay Travis.
What's a Herb?
I don't know.
It's in Urban Dictionary. Look it up. The only reason to listen to Clay would be to reaffirm that your own opinion is on the right side by disagreeing with him. If you agree with anything Clay has to say, I apologize in advance, but you may need to seek help from a trained professional. If I had to make a comparison to who Clay Travis is, I would say to just think of Skip Bayless, but with no charisma, no original takes, and if Skip was just plain doofy.
Doofy? I don't even know what some of these words mean.
Who uses the word doofy?
Here's my thing in general on hate. I don't want to go full Star Wars on you here. But if you hate someone so much that you think about them as often as the people who hate me think about me, I own their brains. Now, there's not a lot of activity in those brains, right? Most of my haters tend to be fairly dim-witted light bulbs in general. There's not a lot of activity, not a lot of synapses firing there. But I just can't imagine hating something so much that I allow it to obsess me. Right? Like, I was trying to think the other day, what do I really hate that I spend time thinking about or doing? And I think the answer is nothing, right? Like, if I hated a television show, I would never sit around and watch the television show. I am fascinated by the, sort of the hater generation in general, that some people get their jollies off by hating, right? Like, if you hated a radio show, or you hated a television program, or you hated a musician or whatever it might be, why would you then expose yourself to it every single day? Right? I mean, it's really fascinating to me, because one of the reasons why this show does so well is there are some of you nincompoops out there listening right now that listen every single day that hate me. And I really don't understand that hater gene. Is there anything that you hate that you do every day?
No.
Can you, Dub, is there anything that you hate that you do every day?
I can't think of one.
It might be work with me, but you don't have any other options. But Eddie, is there anything that you hate that you do every day?
No.
Does this fascinate you guys as much as it does me that, yes. Roberto, that you would hate something and yet do it every single day?
Yeah, it makes no sense, yeah.
Right? Like, to have your brain be so owned, like, I always, I think it's funny when people are like, I'll never listen to your program again, and then, like, the next week somebody's like, last week you said X, and now you're saying Y, I'm never listening again. And then the next week they're going to be like, 2 weeks ago you said X, this week you said Y, and now you're saying Z. And I'm like, but you told me 2 weeks ago that you were never going to listen again, and now you're comparing. Not only are you listening, it's like you're sitting there with your pen out, writing down notes like, aha, I got him.
If they say they hate the show and they listen every day, they actually like the show. Because why would you listen to something every day that you hate? It makes no sense.
It's just that I think there are certain segments of the population, and my brain doesn't work this way because it actually works, but the hater generation, they get joy in their distaste. But it's really, because to me, my thing is, I don't have time to watch everything on television, for instance, that I like. There are shows that are stacked up where I'm like, man, I got so much work to do. I don't have time. Maybe I'll be able to catch up now that football's over. But there are lots of things that I would like to be able to do, things that I like that I don't get to. And I just don't understand in this, era where everybody's so busy, how you find time to consume the things that you hate. But I do thank all of you for making this show so wildly successful. When we come back, we'll actually talk about people who are giving us positive reviews. Yeah. Also, I want to update our Super Bowl picks before the year started and get everybody's picks for the AFC and the NFC Championship game. We'll do that as we start off the third hour of the program. I appreciate all of you hanging out with us. This is Outkick. Go give us 5 stars in the podcast.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.